Welcome to the Forging Honor podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at Forging Honor, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
It is challenge check-in time. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's a total of 42 days. The challenges are simple daily tasks to grow us as Christian men. The current challenge is to take 10 minutes every day to rest in the Lord. What does that mean? It means dwelling in prayer. We're exploring that. We're still figuring it out. Banjo, how's it going for you?
Pretty good. I think five. I wish I was more precise in these things, but there's been a couple of days where I've been praying, and I didn't set a timer, so I don't know if I hit the 10-minute mark. So I'll say 5 out of 7 just to be safe, but it might be more like 4. It's been good. I think we talked about last time trying to find find a rhythm of quiet as well, and just kind of trying to settle in and. Unplug from some different media environments as well. And just today, I had a 40-minute drive back from work, 45-minute drive back from work. And I was like, you know what? I really don't want to listen to anything. I don't want to listen to a podcast. I don't want to listen to music. I really just kind of want to sit here and think. And I wasn't so much praying as just kind of like just sitting and hanging out. And I felt a little bit like a psychopath on the one hand, but on the other hand, it did feel restful. I did come back to the house feeling like, okay, I can move on. I feel a little less rushed in my day. And so that was nice. I don't know if I'll do that again, but it was interesting to see that kind of mindset shift a little bit already 2-3 weeks into the challenge. How's it going for you so far?
It's going well this week. Best week so far, 5 out of 7 on the days there. And like you, I didn't set a timer every time, but I would glance at the watch and go, oh, 15 minutes past this time. Huh. Surprising. So it's been really good. Like you, I've taken some opportunity, or it's kind of shown some fruit in the car where I'm going, oh, I don't need to listen to something. I think, the biggest thing was I went into this week, I said on the last episode, went into this week determined to kind of use it as reset time rather than, saying, well, I'm going to get all my prayer out of the way at the beginning of the day. Which is what I was doing at first. Like, oh, I'm going to use this time as my full prayer time. So, I've changed that. And while I still do some prayer at the beginning of the day with my morning Bible reading, this has usually been, oh, it's the middle of the afternoon at work. I'm feeling a little out of it. Let me take a 10-minute break and dive into some prayer and some rest. And that has been very, very good, very rejuvenating. So I look forward to doing more of that. Well, that wraps up with our challenge check-in. Today, we've got a guest on the show who I'm excited to have on. We have Pastor Mike Finema. Mike grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago, serves as an assistant pastor. Mike received his bachelor's degree from Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and his master's of divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando. In his more than 15 years of ministry, Mike has served as a youth pastor, senior pastor, and church planter. He suffered a spinal cord injury in November of 2020. He now uses his disability as a way to minister in a unique way. Mike and his wife, Stephanie, have been married for over 17 years, and God has blessed them with 5 children. Welcome to the show, Mr. Finema.
Thank you, guys. Honestly, it's really good to be here. Man, reading that bio, that makes me feel old, kind of.
Well, you have a bio.
I do.
Which is more than some of us can say.
Man, honestly, I'm the youngest in my family. I have 3 older sisters, and I've always felt young. And so when you read that, it's like, wow, I guess, not that I'm old, but I've lived,
yeah,
in a sense.
A lifetime of ministry.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to get into this. You've heard what we're doing here. I think just to start, kind of, if you would give some background for yourself, and I know that there are some particular events in your life that I think are pertinent to today's conversation in terms of rest and prayer.
Absolutely. I think when I look back on my life, however, if God gives me the ability to do that, if I, if he gives me many more years. There's going to be that pivotal moment in my life that happened about 4 years ago. We're coming up on the anniversary, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, when I had my spinal cord injury, which you mentioned in my bio. So the first 40 years of my life, I was able-bodied. As you said, I did my undergraduate at Kelvin. I did seminary at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, which is where I met my wife, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And from there, we I served churches in Augusta, Georgia, in just outside of Little Rock, Arkansas, and then came to Middle Tennessee to plant a church in Spring Hill. That's when I had my spinal cord injury. And as the church was closing down during COVID, I had that spinal cord injury. And now I'm blessed to be an assistant pastor at Parrish. But we do have five kids. And the oldest is now 16. The youngest is six, almost seven. And I almost forgot what question you asked.
Well, just history of yourself. And
yeah, totally.
Leading into how that has affected really prayer in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, being a typical male, I loved to be active in the first 40 years of my life. And there was just a lot of things that I would love to do. My personality is not such that I'm an overachiever by any means, but I just, the thought of rest and stopping is something that just seemed a little bit foreign because, I mean, we're guys,
right?
You know, God made us to be doers, to be active.
Yes.
And I mean, what was the cultural mandate was to fill the earth and subdue it, right?
That means action. Go out and take action.
It does. And so, and I was never at a point where I was like always go. But the times where I would have to stop, just seemed, I don't know, odd. And honestly, when we talk about rest and prayer, prayer is always something that I have actually really struggled with in my life. We heard a sermon just this past week at our church. The call of an elder is to prayer and the word. And I'll be honest, the word part is easier for me. Prayer has always been a struggle in my life. Of spending that time of conversing and being with the Lord. But it, I know, and especially over the last 4 years, I've known that it's such a vital part of who I am and who I need to be. But, you know, you mentioned that I was at Kelvin College. One of the stories of rest that I actually wanted to share actually happened while I was there. You know, I had the privilege of being a resident assistant my junior year, which meant that I was in charge of 40 guys. And when you're in charge of 40 guys on a floor in a dorm in college, like there is constant action, if you can imagine.
Yes.
I mean, I know.
I'm aware. I've lived on a dorm.
Totally.
With 40 guys.
Yeah, I know you have over there at Covenant. And it got to a point on spring break. You know what most guys do for spring break? Like they go somewhere fun, or some years I went on a mission trip, or people like to go to the beach or be active or things like that. I was so burnt out by the activity that I decided to spend a week in a monastery.
Oh, wow.
And so I got to enjoy a full week of silence, of solitude, of reading, of writing, and of prayer. And I'll tell you, that was one of the most amazing weeks of my life, where God just took me to a place where I was just with Him, and I was able to rest and was able to pray. And there's something about being in that place that... not only is it re-energizing, it reorients you and it recharges you to be able to go back into the place where you feel called, which for me, it was on a floor in a dorm with 40 other guys who were closing out the school year and being able to finish well. But if it wasn't for that time of rest and prayer, I wouldn't have been able to do that. So God's got me in a place right now, having the spinal cord injury, where rest and prayer, I have much more opportunity for that. Mm-hmm. I don't always use that well, and I'm struggling to figure out, probably like you guys are,
yeah,
how to do that well. But I actually have much more opportunity to do it. And actually more than I would like at this right. point. So that's kind of, I don't know. I could go on more and more about that, but,
well, we'll get into it for sure.
Yeah.
I think, when we first started this challenge, well, we knew going into this, we wanted to do a challenge to close out the year on rest. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about the different types of rest out there, you know, we thought about, oh, you know, we could talk about napping or, you know, trying to get enough sleep, like all of the rest ideas we realized, were purely kind of a temporary physical rest. Mm-hmm. And the more we dwelt on it, we went, oh, you know what we really need is more prayer.
Yeah.
And I think for us, like for me anyway, prayer has always been like, well, this is my opportunity, you know, use the axe thing, you know, I'm going to go adore God, confess, give thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and then supplication. And I spend a lot more time on the supplication portion than anything else. Right.
Like
anyone. Yeah. And mm-hmm. the realization that prayer is an opportunity to rest in the Lord is something that, I think we slowly realized as kind of, we were talking about, you know, the righteous man meditates on his law day and night. Mm-hmm. Like he's like a tree planted by streams of water. That's a restful state.
Totally.
So if you could speak a little bit too in how you have seen prayer work as an opportunity for rest in your life.
Yeah. Well, let me do it by telling some stories. So, I just love and appreciate stories. So after my spinal cord injury, which happened in November of 2020, what God gave me was more opportunity of rest. I felt like he also took a lot from me in terms of physical ability, and therefore, but also gave me the gift of being able to rest. It's not something that I am always grateful for, because I do long for that ability again, but he has given me so many more opportunities for rest. And one of the things that I've realized over the last 4 years is that rest and prayer, when we have those and take advantage of the times to rest and prayer, it is an opportunity for us to show our inadequacy and inability, and allows us to trust in God and his ability and his adequacy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as a male, I often feel like I am adequate and I have the ability. And if I don't, I get frustrated. And when we take time to rest and spend time in prayer, we're admitting to God, I'm inadequate. I don't have the ability, but you do. And that's actually a really good place for us to be. And so, because of my spinal cord injury, there's a lot of things that I can't do now. And it takes me a lot of time to do really basic activities. So getting into bed takes me about a half an hour, because there's just things that I need to do, and I'm not going to get into all the things that I need to do. And getting out of bed also takes me about a half an hour, because I've got to stretch. When I sleep, I literally sleep in the same spot. I go to sleep and then I wake up in the same position. So my body gets really stiff. Wow. So the first thing I need to do is just stretch my arms and legs. It kind of annoys my wife because it often wakes her up, but, what are you going to do?
Right.
And so that takes me about a half an hour. And then, so what my basic morning looks like every Monday, Wednesday, Friday is that I get up between 5 and 5:30, and then I make my way into the restroom. I take a shower and I take care of some personal needs. I'll leave it at that. And it usually takes me about an hour, hour and a half. And so between 5 and 7, I have that time where I'm doing activity, but it's also in a sense a time of being alone. I'll often listen to things like instead of reading my Bible, which is difficult for me right now, I often listen to it. And so I'll listen to some Bible reading, and often a podcast or another book that I'm listening to. And then I'll spend some time in prayer, because one of the gifts that God has given me is time. And do I always use it appropriately? No, unfortunately, I don't. I'm tempted to be distracted by things, usually good things, but God has given me a gift of being able to pray. Hmm. And so something that I really struggled with the first 40 years of my life of taking that time to actually do it, God has given me the gift of having the time to do it. And not only that, not only the mornings, but throughout my day, things just take more time. And so when you talk about rest and prayer, you know, we have these to-do lists and things that we'd love to accomplish and are active throughout the day. A lot of those things have been taken from me, and that gets really aggravating. I feel a sense of inadequacy, like I can't do the things that I used to do. But what God is revealing to me is I might not be able to do the things physically that I used to, but now what I am called to do is to more, maybe not necessarily rest, but to be able to spend more time in prayer and in His Word and in a slower pace of life. And I haven't always enjoyed that, but when I've really seen the fruit and the beauty of that, it's actually been a really beneficial thing.
You mentioned fruit there.
Yeah.
What kind of fruit do you see through this rest and prayer?
So
while you answer that, I'm going to crack the door. It's kind
of okay. It is a little warm in here.
Yeah.
So
I'm back.
So one of the, you know, in my first 15 years of ministry, what I loved doing, like I love people. I love being in a relationship with other people, and God gave me the ability to, have a wide breadth of relationship. Just being in the physical condition now that I am now, I have to go deeper. I can't go wide. So like when you see me at church on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. What I miss deeply is being able to, I don't want to say it work the crowd, but to be able to greet many people, you know, handshakes, hugs, see sure. how people are doing. And because it takes me so long to get anywhere, or if I'm in my wheelchair, I just don't have access to people like I used to. I have to go for depth rather than breadth. And so I get to have just a few conversations. And so, but what that allows is for me to be slow. And the people who I get to have conversations with, it's almost like they get a chance to rest, to take time, to be deliberate, to not have all the rush around us and right. just to be slow. And so rest doesn't always have to be like, oh, I'm taking 10 minutes, here. It can be just having a conversation where we just take a breath a second, where we just go slow. And when people are in communication with me, that's just how it has to be because I'm not quick anymore. And so it allows us to take a breath even in the middle of, you know, rushing out of church or doing something in the day, just to be deliberate. And that's one of the gifts that God has given me right now is being able to be more deliberate. So
that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it is. And so, I miss those days where I could do more. But I'm grateful for the opportunities to just to stop and be slow. And I think that's a gift that God has given to me that I'm able to give to others right now too.
That's a really helpful idea that rest isn't necessarily, it's not always inactivity. You know, I think for myself, that's usually where I go where, okay, I've got a break. I'm going to go, you know, sit on the couch and watch football for an hour and, you know, and just kind of veg out for a little bit, but that's not necessarily rest, or it's at least not the only form of rest. And so that's a helpful reminder. I think one thing that JJ and I have kind of both been thinking about, at least in the early stages of this challenge, was prayer is hard. Finding the time to do it, you know, even just, you know, knowing what to say or you know, not turning it into a laundry list of just requests and you know, turning God into a vending machine. It's really hard. I wonder if you could just speak to
totally.
What is it that makes prayer so difficult? Why is this, this should be a great tool that we enjoyed. Why is it so difficult for us?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. So let me speak for myself. Why prayer was more difficult before my accident and it's becoming less difficult now, I still have that laundry list feel like God, I still approach God as a vending machine. But when I had my accident in November of 2020, I was in this mental fog. I don't remember the accident itself. I remember waking up about 2 days later after having surgery. And then even still, I was in this fog until about January. So there's about a month that I do remember, but it's just really hazy. And when I came out of that fog, I looked around and realized what had happened to me. And my first reaction was actually anger, because I felt like God had stripped everything away from me. And it was not just my physical body. The church plant that I had been working on for years suddenly was closed. It was in the midst of COVID where I couldn't be with my family or my wife. We had to keep that 6-foot distance, and they couldn't be with me in the hospital where I was. And so besides my mother, who is with me, I felt completely and utterly alone and felt like God had stripped everything away. And I told him that. And that was one of the first times in my life where I was honest with God in prayer. And one of the things that has improved my prayer life over the last several years is my ability to be honest with God where I am. And I didn't feel like I could do that before. I felt like I, not that I had to put on airs, but that there was this person that I was supposed to be that I couldn't tell him exactly how I was or what I was feeling. And I was being fake in my relationship. So I still have opportunity where I can ask God for the things that I need to ask him for. But a lot of my prayers now are just me and him, where I'm telling him how I'm feeling, what my frustrations are, and him also reminding me of the hope that I have in the gospel. And it's less treating God as that vending machine and more of treating him as my father and telling him what's going on and how I feel, my hopes and my dreams, my frustrations, and him bringing to mind scripture and things that he has always told us. And so my prayer is less of, hey, God, this is what I would like to see you do. And it's become more of, hey, this is where I am. And he's beginning to meet me more in that place. So is it perfect? Do I have a great prayer life at this point? I would say no. But I'm on a journey, and I'm thankful to be on that journey. And I see what God's doing right now. And I don't like it, but I'm grateful for it. Mm. So that's some of the things that I'm learning about prayer right now, that it, you know, there's things that I desire that God would do. I pray that he would give me more ability, but also knowing that he may not answer that prayer, and instead I'm using prayer as an ability, as an opportunity to deepen my relationship with him. And I think that's, when it comes down to it, that's really the gift that prayer is deepening a relationship with him.
Hmm. So
yeah. That's helpful.
That's really good. And I mean, I would like that for myself. I think as a young man who has not had a devastating injury,
yeah,
to set myself back, you know, I think majority of young men live, and I have lived, like, you know, I'm in my 20s. Nothing can kill me. Nothing can stop me. Right.
You're right. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it does take that kind of brutal check of, you know, God saying, you know, I am God and you are not. But
yeah,
you know, for those of us that doesn't happen, how can we delve into that prayer life, and where can we turn to learn how to seek that honesty you mentioned?
The Psalms. Oh man. Go to the Psalms. I mean, David did have some pretty devastating things happen in his life. But David, I mean, if you read the Psalms, you'll see how brutally honest David is with his father. One of the things that I love doing is reading through the Psalms. I mean, Psalm 13 is one of those that I have prayed so many times, especially after my injury. Need to pull it up here so that I can. But David says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Like, how could anyone
say that to God?
Yeah. Like, David, are you kidding? Like, look at your life. Could you honestly say that God has forgotten you? Like, it is unbelievable. But he says, "How long will you hide your face? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" He says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God." He tells God to answer him. He says, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I've prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But then he concludes and he says, but I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. One of the things that people constantly do when they come up to me, people see that I'm going through something, that I have struggles, because the wheelchair is obvious. So you can't get around that. And it gives them opportunity to share their struggles and what they're going through. And people constantly say, I know that it's not anything compared to what you're going through. And I typically stop them and I say, but it doesn't matter. Like, what you're going through is valid. And it's a struggle for you. I mean, if only the person who is going through the greatest struggle of all humanity, if they were the only one who was allowed to, you know, complain about it, then it would just invalidate everything else that people were going through. I said, your struggles are valid. And a guy in his 20s who thinks that he's invincible, I mean, you still go through stuff. There's still struggles. I mean, you have a wife and children. You have a job. You live in this world. There's struggles. And you're allowed to tell God what you're honestly thinking and feeling. And he's going to remind you of who he is, that it's going to be okay. Not because you have the ability or the capability, but because he is God. And David can say, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And conclude by saying, I will trust in your steadfast love, because God reveals himself to him. So you don't have to be afraid to tell God exactly what you're thinking, exactly where you are. One, he can handle it. And two, he's going to take that opportunity to remind you that it's going to be okay. And he may take that opportunity to correct you and say, dude, that's not right. I have not forgotten you. Don't be silly. Don't be ridiculous. I'm here. But that's like a real relationship, right? And I struggled with that my first 40 years, to have a real honest relationship with the Lord. It took a spinal cord injury for me to be able to do that in reality. And God can handle it when I say, I'm angry and I'm frustrated with you. And then he'll say, well, you may be frustrated, but get back to the word and let me remind you that what I'm doing in you is bigger. It is something you may not understand, but it's working out for your good and for my glory. And then I respond by saying, oh yeah, that's right. I needed that reminder. Thank you. Yeah.
How do you
go to the Psalms?
How do you, in those moments, like you're talking about God telling you these things, how do you listen properly?
You take time to rest.
Hey, there's a good topic.
Yeah, totally. I don't know. And when I say that God says it,
right.
You know, I don't, it's not like I hear God saying, it's almost like, it's more as if I'm reading the word and God is reminding me through that.
There might be an opening of the eyes to something I haven't seen before.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, the clouds part and I hear...
Here comes a dove.
Yeah, honestly, that's not the case. But yeah, it's bringing to mind things that I know are true, or verses of scripture and things like that. And so,
you need to be open to those things.
You do. And so it, well, it's one of two things. God's going to do it on his own and he's going to break through. And maybe it's going to be a spinal cord injury, which, is one of the things that I've experienced in my life. Or it's going to be other ways. Sometimes it's, the voice of, my wife. Maybe it's the voice of a pastor, a trusted friend, or maybe it's an opportunity that you have to take 10 minutes,
right,
which turns into 15 or maybe even more, where you allow God the opportunity to really speak. It's going to happen in one of the ways. So, or in a different way. So taking the time to give him opportunity, or he's going to take the opportunity himself. So, I mean, I wish that there was some, I mean, there's no secret formula. It's just availing yourself and being willing to rest, to pray, to admit that you're inadequate, that you're incapable, and that God is.
Mike, I wanted to ask a question. You just said, you know, there's no formula, which is a real shame because I wanted to ask a question.
What is the formula?
When it comes to teaching, you mentioned your kids and working in youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, how do you teach kids to pray? How do you walk them through that process? How do you get them thinking in a way of, okay, we're talking to God now, and you know, to have this kind of, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about is kind of nuanced and layered, and you know, you're got to be able to read the Psalms and understand what's going on there. How do you give this to an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old? How do you start this process, or a teenager even? How do you start this process of teaching a child to pray?
Yeah. Well, you model it, especially, in our own family. So we've got kids from 16 down to 6, and the amount of, when they were younger, we had opportunities almost every night, to be able to do this. Did I always do it well? No. Do I wish I did it? Do I wish that I did it better? Of course. So it comes with modeling. In terms of youth ministry, I can say, so we had a retreat a couple of weeks ago where we spent the weekend together. There was a group of about 25 to 30 students. And on Friday night, it was great. It was exciting. We get there. We have a speaker. We do worship. We had a bonfire. We did some games. We had a lot of fun. Got the kids to bed. Saturday morning, just the excitement of the day that is ahead of us. We have our breakfast and we have an initial worship service. And we took time. We read through the Psalms. I'll be honest, I forget what Psalm that I read. And I said, guys, I'm going to give you 15 minutes and you get to go out into creation. Please don't go where we can't see you, but you get to spend 15 minutes in silence with God, and you can do whatever you want. You can pray, you can journal, you can read your Bible. You can space out for 15 minutes, but take 15 minutes. And as we reflected on the retreat on Sunday morning, many of the students said one of the best times that they had was that 15 minutes where they spent with the Lord by themselves. And so, you guys know, 15 minutes is not a lot of time. Like, you've got 15 minutes in your day. Even a student who is swamped with homework and they've got deadlines and tests, like, you can take 15 minutes, set your watch, set a timer, to just take a breath, to spend some time with the Lord, to pray. I mean, that's all that it takes. So to teach it, yeah, it takes modeling, and it takes giving kids an opportunity for it. You know, there's a bunch of different ways that you can teach kids to pray. You know, you mentioned the Acts method. I'm not a huge formula guy, because when I get into formulas, it doesn't feel, it feels more rote.
Right.
And so what I try to teach is just being honest. And it comes from knowing who God is, and knowing that he is a personal God who is your father. And so when you teach the theology of who God is, not only have we been justified by him and we are in the process of sanctification, but we have been adopted by him as his son. And therefore, we, as a child of God, we have access to him. And so be like a child, and it's okay. I like to model how I fumble through prayer sometimes, and I don't get it right. Hmm. I think one of the best things that we can do to model as a pastor or an elder in a church is not only to show how we do things right, but also to admit how we do things wrong, and to be able to admit that I don't have this figured out and I'm on a journey with you. And I think that's really helpful for people. So I don't like to see myself necessarily as being ahead of people. I like to journey with, and let's do this together. And I think that's really helpful. So,
absolutely.
Oh, let's do it together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing you mentioned earlier that I fall prey to, I know, earlier in the conversation, just about kind of having almost like a fake persona before God, faking it a little bit, in your prayer life. So I wanted to ask you about some of these prayer aids. Like we mentioned the Acts thing. Banjo and I have both used Valley of Vision.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I love Valley of Vision, actually.
Amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've realized in this short challenge is because we're specifically focusing on the rest portion, and it's not go pray this prayer. Mm-hmm. I felt a little disarmed because I don't have my little prayer book with me, right? So I wonder if you could speak to kind of the place of those types of books, in our prayer lives, and how you utilize them.
Absolutely. When I was in seminary, which was down in Orlando, I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago. I had a Christmas where my parents, I think they were traveling, and I found myself alone in Orlando on Christmas, and the pastor of the church that I was attending invited me into his house, which I was so grateful for. And he actually gave me two gifts on Christmas. One of them was Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and the other was a leather-bound copy of The Valley of Vision, which I have both of them, and I'm very grateful for. He ended up being the pastor who officiated the wedding between Steffi and I. And those are just treasured possessions of mine, especially that first prayer in the Valley of Vision. Because there are times when I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. And so I'll leaf through there and I'll find a prayer and use that. And it is so helpful. You know, in Romans 8, Paul says that the Spirit will speak, you know, with groanings. And sometimes God uses the prayers of others as well to be able to pray that. And we should never think that this is inadequate, like, oh, this is just someone else's prayer. But it's a great tool. Should we only pray that? No, of course not. We should use that as a catalyst to our own. But those prayers are so helpful for us, especially when we don't know what to say. And the Psalms are good for that as well. There's often times when I'm reading through a Psalm and using it as a prayer, and sometimes David will say something, and I'll say, you know, that's not exactly what I feel right now. And I'll say, that was David, but here's actually what I feel or what I'm experiencing, and this is what I desire. And so we can even use things like the Valley of Vision, or there's a great prayer book also called Piercing Heaven that I'll use, and then say, well, it's almost, but not quite, and here's what I actually am feeling. So if you're struggling with knowing what to pray, use those, definitely. And sometimes it'll be spot on. And I love it when those times are spot on, because sometimes I'll just pray the Valley of Vision. That's been really helpful. But sometimes it'll say, or it'll help me think, like, that's not exactly, here's what is going on. And so, yes, please use those, but also know, hey, there's times where you can just be completely honest and just tell God exactly what you're feeling and not feel guilty about that.
That can be tough.
Yeah.
Be very tough.
Yeah.
What is the proper place for simply silence in prayer?
Is there a place for that? Can we be silent? I mean, our culture tells us that we can't, right?
Well, that's my question. Like, do I just need to always be talking to God? Like, hey, I'm feeling this. I'm thinking this. Give me this now. You know?
Oh, man. I think, and honestly, I feel that silence is, well, what's the phrase? Silence is golden.
Right.
Sometimes it is. We live in a culture where every second has to be filled with something. And that's, I mean, what does Psalm 46 say? Be still and know that I am God. Just be still. So you don't have to say anything. There's sometimes when you're in a relationship with another person, and guys can do this, I think. Not to be sexist, but I think guys are better at this than females. Sometimes it's okay to just be with another guy. You don't have to say anything. You just are together.
Just hanging out.
And it's okay.
Just there.
Like, yeah, there's silence and I don't need to fill it. And it's okay. That's great. That is actually the case with God too. Sometimes it feels weird when you're just in prayer and you just are silent. But one of the beauties of, as I was thinking about rest, one of the ways that we find rest is just finding, opportunity to meet God in nature, say going on a hike, where you're by yourself, maybe you're thinking about something, but you just meet God in creation and you're just in awe and you just are there. Just being present. There doesn't have to be anything said. You can simply be present with God. And that can be so rejuvenating. It can be reorienting for you in your life. It can be just a beautiful moment where, hey, what did you pray about? Nothing. I was just with my father. Sometimes I love it when my 6-year-old is just with me. You know, he's in my lap, I'm holding him, maybe he even falls asleep, but we're just present with each other, and that connection that we have is so deep and so beautiful. I think the same is true with God. I'll be honest, sometimes when I enter into prayer, I'm tired and I lose track of thought. And there's times when I doze. I don't know if you guys ever have that.
All the time.
All the time. I used to feel really guilty about that. But it's okay. Sometimes we need to be diligent in prayer. But sometimes even just having those moments where we're just with God, even in silence, which our culture does not, well, it's just hard to be, in a place of silence. And so it's good and it's okay. Be still. No, I'm God. Yeah.
I could definitely do with more of that.
Yeah.
Banjo, before we, we're getting towards the end of our time here. What are your final questions?
Final questions. Well, I always like to ask a left field question at the end. So maybe I'll ask one serious question and then, save my left field question here at the end. I've had experiences where talking with non-believers about prayer is really interesting. I've only had that conversation a couple of times, but it's a really it's a strange conversation to have because obviously this is kind of outside their experience. You know, I've talked to some folks who are like, oh yeah, I pray too. You know, I send stuff out into the universe, kind of a deal.
Oh yeah,
and it's like that's not the same.
Oh man.
Or on the other hand, there's talking with an atheist friend and saying I feel like I've maybe not heard God's voice, but he's spoken to me. And he's like, yeah, you can get that same effect with drugs. And it's like, well, yeah, but it's not that. So I don't know, how do you go about having that conversation with someone who's not a believer? Do you have a way of speaking about prayer with folks who are kind of not of the faith?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I haven't had too many conversations about prayer in particular with non-believers, but when I do, it's weird to talk about having a relationship with a God that is invisible, who's a spirit that you cannot see, having conversations with them about prayer, I don't expect them or even anticipate them to really understand it. And that's okay. To speak about it honestly and to really explain how God works in your life and not being afraid of if that comes off crazy. And if they have objections to that or think you're weird for that, like, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me what you think of me. This is what I know to be true. So having those conversations where I can be honest with them, but then having a relationship with them so that they see that being lived out in my life, where what I say and the things that I do actually are coherent and congruent. Mm. They may think, that's crazy. Like, prayer seems ridiculous and you're talking to no one or to nothing. But when they see how I live my life and then when they have experience in their life that they need to come to me and say, hey, can you pray for me? I don't think that when we talk about prayer, especially with non-believers, that's not a short game in a sense. That's going to come out in a long relationship. And, I don't think that, we necessarily can convert through, talking about prayer in particular, but if someone's asking about prayer, it gives you an opportunity in the depth of a relationship Yeah, I can just, I can't think of a personal example, but I can imagine that if they ask you about prayer and have questions about that, then if they experience something where they need prayer, you have a real opportunity to speak the truth of the gospel and pray for them in those situations. So don't be afraid to speak about it, as long as you're, and make sure that your life is congruent and consistent with that, and use it as an opportunity to pray for them when they do need it.
So, very good. Yeah. Do you have other practical guidelines that you would set in terms of just the day-to-day instruction for people to say, hey, there are better times to pray than others, or are there things that you would say to kind of help put yourself in that path of prayer?
Yeah. One, you know, there's natural times. If you have a family, and you share a meal together, so breakfast, lunch, dinner,
there you go.
Like, pray. Yeah, we do that as a family. When we have dinner together, we share a prayer together. One of the things we have a song that we sing that we like to pray together. And then when we do family worship together at night, we take that opportunity to pray. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are natural times when you gather together. And so step out and just, it can be just a moment. But it also should be more than just a moment as well.
Right.
So take advantage of the natural opportunities, but also you need to set time aside to actually do it.
Right.
For me right now, God has given me so many opportunities of the half an hour it takes me to get into bed, half an hour it takes me to get out of bed, the times of personal care that I need, and even being here talking to you guys, it's convicting me that that's more opportunity to pray that I don't take advantage of and I should be.
Right.
And so, you know, you have opportunities in the car. Great. Listen to some great podcasts. Like, I hear there's a good one called Forging Honor, you know? and so, yeah. But there's times like, dude, I can turn that off for a while. And here I am by myself. Let's just pray. So take advantage of natural opportunities, but when natural opportunities don't present themselves, set that time aside, and it can be 10 minutes. It's not a big deal. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I've got to do all these things, and there's this huge prayer list that I've got to get through. I think we make too big of a deal out of it sometimes.
Right.
Should we be praying for all those things? Absolutely. Oh my goodness. There's so many things that more that I should be praying for than I am. And I think the guilt of that, make prayer into this mountain that we have to climb. Just start small.
Right.
And begin. So yeah, start with 10 minutes like you guys are doing. So, well,
and I think, what, you know, part of what you're saying there, like, if it doesn't have to be this whole ordeal, it's not a checklist.
No.
And I think that at least that's something I have fallen prey to of, all right, here's my checklist of things I'm going to do today. And one of those things is prayer. Mm-hmm. And then I've got the mini checklist under that of, I'm going to pray about these things, mm-hmm. rather than the encouragement of, you know, pray without ceasing. And that means it's just, there's opportunity everywhere, as you're saying, mm-hmm. and you see these opportunities. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I don't know what you do for like your prayer list or things like that, but if you have your notebook with you, like, dude, you got 5 minutes somewhere, like, hey, whip out the notebook and say, okay, let me just pray for this a second. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be hard.
It's not that complicated.
No, it's not. But we need to be reminded of those things, because is it easier to whip out your prayer book or is it easier to whip out your smartphone and right. scroll through, oh, I haven't checked my email, or let's check my social media feed. it's a conscious decision we need to make. And often I make the wrong decision. Honestly, I need to start making the better decision more often.
Well, so, it's convicting for sure.
Yeah, it is.
Benjo, final question for you.
Yeah. Dude, so here comes my left field question. And maybe this is just a me problem. Maybe this is only something that I face in my prayer life. I don't know if you're a sports fan, Mike.
I am.
Are you a Tennessee Vols fan, or what's your? Are you a college football guy?
No, I'm a college football guy. Let's leave it at that.
We're not going to get controversial on the podcast.
We've made it this far without pushing anybody. So we don't want to leave
Auburn fan or Bama fan or something. You're going to get thrown out of the house.
I will say, I grew up in the South Suburbs of Chicago. I was not a college football fan. Because I enjoyed pro sports then. So I will say my wife is an Auburn graduate, and so we do root for Auburn in our house. But also in my time when I was in Orlando, I had a buddy who introduced me to the Florida Gators.
Woo! And so, not another. No.
Yes.
No. Go Gators.
That's right.
Go Gators.
That's right. And this was around the time of a guy by the name of Tim Tebow, if you remember him.
Yeah.
And
I have his autograph in my pocket right now.
No way. That's awesome.
I didn't know that, Banjo. That's actually really cool for all the grief I give you.
So yeah, I mean, we're big SEC fans. And now that we live in Tennessee, we will root for the Vols.
It's the home team, man.
It is the home team, as long as they're not playing Auburn or Florida. And so...
Tell you what, that Tennessee game this year was brutal. That was awful.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. I'm talking to the right man then.
Yeah, totally.
Because, you know, this last weekend, really great win against LSU.
Yeah.
You know, go Gators. Really excited. DJ Lagway slinging it around. Gave me great hope for the future. I think my prayer life is at an all-time high while I'm watching the Florida Gators.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
During a round of sports. And I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm the only one who, when it's, you know, third and four, am on my knees in prayer.
You're not.
You're not the only one. Yeah.
You know, what's a reformed view on praying during sports?
Talk about left field, huh?
That is really left field. Wow. I feel completely inadequate to speak on the reformed view of sports. He's Lord of all, right? And
that's what I think. Yeah.
Totally. Does he care about football? I think he does. Is that the most important thing in life? No. If you're only praying when it's third and four, then there's an issue. Can you pray when it's third and four? Of course you can. And should you? Yeah, probably. Is that going to be tops on God's priority list? You know, of course not.
Probably not.
Hopefully when you're praying at third and four, it'll also give you conviction. Hey, I should probably be praying even when I'm not watching football. You know, God cares about everything. Is he a Gators fan? Maybe, probably not.
Used to be, I don't know. Totally. When Tim was there, probably. You know,
totally. But does God care about the things that we care about? Of course he does. Is football the most important thing? No, of course not. But, can we pray for that? Yeah. Of course we can.
So what happens when there's another wonderful reformed Christian praying on the other side of that?
Totally.
On defense.
Totally. And that
they just cancel. Like, what's the
so
they don't have reformed Georgia Bulldogs fans. That's not a thing.
That is actually false. My uncle.
I don't know. That may be true. But
whoa. Okay.
But here's the deal though. I pray that God would restore my body. Mm-hmm. And God hasn't. And I'm actually coming to the place where I'm okay that that may not happen. And that's 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul asks for the thorn in his flesh to be removed, and he does it three times. And God says no, and my grace is sufficient for you. And he says that, you know, in your weakness, I am strong. You may pray on third and four that God would grant a first down, and God might say no. and that's okay. And he may respond, my grace is sufficient. And even if this team loses, it's okay. Because God is saying to me, at least right now, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is revealed in your weakness. That's another aspect of prayer, is that the things that we pray, God sometimes says no, or maybe sometimes not yet. Or he'll say, I'm revealing something greater and deeper that you don't understand, and you may never understand this side of glory, but I want you to trust me. And that's where I am right now, understanding that his grace is sufficient. So I've had many people pray with me and people pray over me in my current condition, being in the wheelchair, and have had people pray that I would walk again. And that's not my story right now. That's not. So I'm learning to understand that God does say no in prayer. But that doesn't stop me from praying. And he teaches me that his grace is sufficient. So that goes with a spinal cord injury. It goes with praying during a football game at any time.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
My grace is sufficient for a rebuilding year. That's
exactly
good to know.
Exactly. Well,
I have one final question I always ask, but before I ask that, the I think I'm going to butcher the quote, but Sproul was famously asked the same question. Okay, is it okay to pray for sporting events? And Sproul, a Steelers fan, said, no, it's not okay unless you're a Steelers fan.
I didn't know that he was a Steelers fan.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
I think the whole Sproul family was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Famously. Anyway, my final question is always very practical, geared towards young man who has maybe struggling in his prayer life or has none at all. What is the one thing you would tell him to do tomorrow?
One, I would look him in the eye and say, it's okay to struggle. So you are inadequate and you are incapable. It's okay. And I would say, when you fail, just get back on the horse. God is a gracious God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You are not a failure. Just get back on the horse. Go to him in prayer tomorrow. He will love you and he will listen to you, and it's going to be okay. So just keep going. Oh.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mike Finema. We've really enjoyed having you on.
Yeah, thanks so much. This has been great.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. It's been honestly a real pleasure. It's been convicting and helpful for me in my prayer life and as I seek rest as well. And I've really enjoyed being with you guys. Thank you.
This has been the Forging Honor podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com. There you'll find information about our community, The Forge, and how to join other young men seeking to glorify God in thought, word, and deed. You'll also find blog articles, book recommendations, and more ways to grow as a Christian man.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend or family member about Forging Honor. We would also appreciate it if you would take a moment to like and subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, a rating and review only takes a moment, and it goes a long way towards growing the Forging Honor community.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.